Good morning, Common Ground Cowboy Church. Glad you were here this morning. A couple of weeks ago, Brother Lynn asked me to preach, and I think that was God's way of saying, Daryl, it's time to shake off the rust a little bit and get back into preaching. It had been about a year since I have preached a sermon, so I might be a little rusty, I might be a little nervous, but the Holy Spirit will walk me through this morning. The title of my sermon today is kind of a catchphrase. It's meant to kind of catch your attention and get you to thinking about the sermon ahead, and it'll give me an opportunity to actually kind of tie back in this particular title later on in the sermon. The title of my sermon is called, You Can Be a Cowboy on the Moon. It is actually a statement today about how I'm going to tie that into the actual topic that I want to talk about today, and that's faith. Basically, all of us here are here today because of faith. If we were to look up the definition of faith as found in the dictionary in Webster, it says that faith is a strong belief or a trust in someone or something. The biblical definition for faith is found in Hebrews 1:11. The Bible says, faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. And how I got on my sermon title today, basically, I just looked up that word substance again in the dictionary. And the definition for substance means the quality of being important, valid, and significant. And with those three words, I was able to form a sermon outline. And so what we're going to talk about today is we're going to talk about faith being important. Romans 1:20 says that for since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made so that people are without excuse. God has, what the scripture is saying is that God has created the world. And with that, when we look up and we see the sunrise in the morning and we see the sunset and we see the bird sings and we see the grass grow, that should be enough testimony right there to believe that there is a God in the universe. And on the other side of that, the world tells us what? That we just evolved. It's in complete contrast from what Scripture tells us. Scripture tells us that if no one was there to preach the word, that you should just know that there is a God by what he created and what he has given us. Faith is important because it touches each of our lives. As I said earlier, we are here today by some measure of faith. We come to church to grow our faith. Romans 10:17 says that consequently, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word about Christ. So we all come to church here so we can hear the message, and we can grow with one another as we hear the message. Romans 1:12 says that you and I may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith. So we come here today together to encourage one another in our faith, and we come to grow our faith when we hear God's word preached and when we hear God's word teach to us. So think about that. Why are you here today? Are you here today that you believe that Jesus Christ is your Savior? Are you here today because somebody invited you to church? Possibly you just felt like you needed to come to church today, but for whatever reason, I'm glad you're here. You know, I got tickled the other day. This has been probably a month ago, and I won't mention any names, but there was a particular young man that was coming into our church, and I had seen him, and he sat beside this one little girl whose family had been coming, and I met this guy on a job site one day, and we got to talking, and I got to joking around. You know how guys will, especially older guys, will pick on younger guys, and I was kidding him about coming to church, chasing this little girl. And he just grinned, you know, and he didn't deny it. He was coming to church because the little girl was coming to church, and I kind of, you know, picked on him a little bit. But, you know, in that, I was really glad that he was here. I wish there were more young guys chasing girls to church. In fact, I want to tell you a little story about how I started getting involved in church. I started in church for all the wrong reasons. When I was about 8 years old, one of my dads, and I didn't realize it at the time. In fact, it kind of just hit me this week. But one of my father's love languages, out of those five love languages, was quality time. And that quality time, he liked to spend working. And around 8 years old, my dad had this garden. And when I was a kid, that thing looked like it was 5 acres. You look at it today, and it might be an acre and a half at the most. But one of the things that he did is he liked to grab us boys and just take us down to the garden, and we would work in the garden pretty much all day long. I remember my mom making the statement one time. They had kind of found their excuse not to go to church, but she said, "You know, son, if you want to go to church, I'll take you." Well, as an eight-year-old boy, I got to thinking, you know, if I'm at church, I don't have to work in the garden. And so I got this idea that I would just start asking my mom to take me to church on Sunday mornings, because I knew then I wouldn't have to work. You know, after work, yeah, I'd have Sunday mornings off. I'd go to church, and after work, I'd go work in the garden. And I was going to church for all the wrong reasons, but as I look back, that was the beginning of my faith. God's big enough to let you come to church for the wrong reasons, because God wants you to start wherever you are, and he wants to grow that faith. And he's a big enough God that he'll allow you to come to church for the wrong reasons. Amen. So I want to talk about what is leading you here today. Why are you in this church? So we've kind of talked about why faith is important. I also want to talk to you about how to validate your faith. Hebrews 11:6 says, "But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is the rewarder of those who diligently seek him." So if we come to God and we want to know God, we have to believe what? That he is God. In fact, Scripture goes on to say how we can have a personal relationship with God. If you're not here today and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, if you've never asked Jesus to come into your heart, there's about three verses that I want to read to you from Romans 10, verses 8 through 10. These verses say, "But what does it say? The word is near you. It is in your mouth, in your heart. That is the message concerning faith that we proclaim. If you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord, and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved." Verse 10 says, "For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved." Basically, what this scripture says here is that the message is right here. It's on the tip of your tongue. It's knocking at the door of your heart. If you believe that God sent Jesus Christ to die on the cross for your sins, all you've got to do is accept that belief. Ask Jesus to save you, and you'll be saved. And your faith will be validated. And from that point on, the Holy Spirit will come to live in your heart, and he'll grow you into a better and deeper understanding of your Christian faith. Do you believe that today? Have you asked Jesus Christ into your heart today? If you haven't, I want to encourage you, after the sermon time is over, if God's been working on your heart and you haven't accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, get with me before you leave here today. Come up to me and say, "Brother Darrell, I just need to talk to you about the Lord." And we'll have a conversation. And I'll try to answer any questions that you might have. If you can't find me, if I'm tied up with someone, ask one of the elders in the church. They'll be more than glad to happy to visit with you. But don't leave here without getting your life straight with the Lord today. I want to talk to you a little bit about confirming your faith, making faith significant. How can we make your faith a little bit more significant? And that is by simply what putting our faith into action. Doing something for our faith. I want to ask you, and this is the part of the sermon that's going to start really probably stepping on your toes a little bit. If you're a member of Common Ground Baptist Church, let me back up. That's bad. I really stuck my foot in that one, didn't I? Common Ground Cowboy Church. You see where my background comes from, right? Okay. Well, that's where that came from. Common Ground Cowboy Church. Let me rephrase that. If you're a member here, I want to ask you, what are you doing? What is your responsibility? Because I fully believe that if you have a significant faith and you're a member of this church, then you should be doing something. Whether it's working in the children's ministry, doing something in the band, working in the kitchen. And I fully believe it, and I'm going to give you some scriptures in a minute that are probably going to stomp on some toes that justify what I'm saying. But first, I want to back up just a little bit in talking about our faith. Sometimes a lot of us are afraid to do something because we just don't know that much about the Lord. And we're afraid to step out there and be criticized or have someone think bad about us. But I want to lead you to Romans 1:4. Romans 1:4 says, "Accept those whose faith is weak without quarreling over disputable matters." So according to Scripture, you have the right to go out and do something for God without having anyone in the church say anything to you, look down on you or anything, because Scripture says and commands us that we should be encouraging you and that you should be accepted here at Common Ground Cowboy Church. 2 Corinthians 13:5 says, "Examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. You do not realize that Christ Jesus is in you unless, of course, you fail the test." So how do we test our faith? Well, it doesn't really get tested unless we're doing something. That faith has to be in action. If it's a faith that just leads us in the door and we listen to a sermon and we leave again, that's some action, but it's not enough action to actually put your faith into test. Putting your faith into test means basically taking what you believe and going and interacting with the rest of the world. By what? By talking about your faith. And we should be able to talk about our faith not only here in church, but where we're at and our coworkers. Our faith should impact the way we live. It should impact the programs we watch on TV, the conversations we have with others. It should impact where we go and what we do at all corners of our life. 1 Timothy 1:5 says that our faith should be sincere. The same way that we act here in church should be the same way that we act when we're out and about in the world. We shouldn't act one way here in church and then go outside and act another way. And also we need to remember in Ephesians 2:8 that for it is by grace you have been saved through faith. It's God's gift. It's something that you didn't deserve. It's something that you shouldn't be puffed up about. It was grace. It was God's gift to you. You did nothing to earn it. But boy, you got a lot whenever God gave it to you. Now here comes the hard verses. The Bible having strong words about faith. James 2:14 says, "What good is it, my brothers and sisters, if someone claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such a faith save them?" James 2:17, "In the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead." James 2:26, "As the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without deeds is dead." So we can't show people our faith by being inactive church members. We've got to go out and be active in the world. We've got to proclaim the name of Jesus. And we need to tell people why we think we're saved. And let them know why we go to church. These words step on our toes and encourage us. They encourage us to do something for your faith. And you know, this church could use a lot of help. Many of you have heard the phrase that 10% of the people do 90% of the work in the church. And that's probably a pretty close statement. But if 90% of the people were doing the work, then we wouldn't have needs. There's pretty much any department in this church. I don't think there's a leader in this church right now that say they couldn't use some help. I know the children's ministry can use some help because I happen to be actively involved in being the lay pastor in the children's ministry. And this is where I want to encourage you to do something. I want to tell you the story about how I became the lay pastor in the children's ministry. When me and my wife decided to join the church, at the time Sully was an elder, and I said, Sully, I said, you know, we're gonna join the church, and whatever you want me to do, I'll do it. You find something for me. Where do you think I'm needed? You just do it. A few weeks later, Sully came up to me and says, hey, Daryl, I want you to think about being lay pastor over the children's ministry. And I was like, what? You know, I thought you were going to get something else for me to do. Lay pastor over the children's ministry. And I'm sitting here thinking, I've got to work with a bunch of young ladies teaching Sunday school. And I'm like, and Sully goes, Daryl, you said, he was tapping me on my shoulder. He said, you said you would do anything that we asked you to do and where you were needed. And I said, you're right. You're right, Sully. I said that. I said, so I'll be lay pastor over the children's ministry. And you know what? I cannot begin to tell you the blessings that I've had watching these young ladies get up there and teach these children. It's been a blessing to be a part of the meetings and watch their excitement as they plan for vacation Bible school. And all I've got to do is sit there and watch them work and pray for them on a regular basis and maybe tackle some little bitty thing that needs to be tweaked a little bit. But it's such an easy job and it's been such a blessing to me. And all I did was place my faith in action into somebody else's hands and say, use me in this church. And that's how easy it can be for you too. Find a church elder and say, just use me. Allow me to do something and let the wisdom that God gives them point you in a direction for the beginning of the working of your faith. And I guarantee you, you will be blessed because blessings flow through what? Blessings flow through obedience. The obedience to working for the good Lord. So I want to encourage you today to put your faith into action. Put your faith in this Western culture, this common ground cowboy church, and put it to work for the Lord. Eric Church has a song called My Three-Year-Old. And I really think that if you listen to the words of this song should have been named The Faith of My Three-Year-Old, because in this song, he's talking about some of the funny things that his boy does and some of the funny things that his boy believes in. He talks about talking to God, and he thinks his mom's an angel and things like that. But in this chorus comes the statement of the title today, that you can be a cowboy on the moon. And, you know, you can take your Christian faith and you can combine it with your Western culture. And you can be a cowboy on the moon or a cowgirl on the moon. You could be a cowboy in China, a Christian cowboy in China. You could be a Christian cowboy in India. You could be a Christian cowboy anywhere in the United States. You could be one here in Texas. And you can definitely be a Christian cowboy where? Here at Common Ground Cowboy Church. You can take your faith and use it anywhere in this world that God leads you. And that's why that phrase is so catching me today, because if you were on the moon, you could be a Christian cowboy. It's just a matter of taking your faith and using it for God's kingdom and for God's glory. By faith, you can be a Christian cowboy. Pray with me. Father God, I just thank you for the day. I thank you for the opportunity to come to you and preach your word this morning. I thank you, Lord, for all the people that are here and present. And I pray, Lord, that you will just touch their hearts. I know there's a lot of people out here that are thinking about working for you today. I pray that this sermon has encouraged them to some degree, Lord, to take an action and do something at Common Ground here today. Lord, bless everyone that has been here today. And as they leave, may they have a blessing. May they have a good vacation's rest. And Lord, just work on their hearts for the remainder of this week and talk to their hearts and their spirits about being good, faithful followers for you. Father, I want to thank you for all the ministry activities here in this church. I want to thank you for Pastor Lynn and pray your blessing upon him and help him to have a good rest, a good relaxation, and bring him back, Lord, on fire to preach your kingdom gospel today. Lord, we thank you for this day. I thank you for your ministry here. I thank you that you are working actively in this ministry today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I want to remind everyone here this morning that if you want to know about some of the activities going on, Tammy's in the back over here. She has some things that are happening as far as our schedule activities coming up for the next month. Ask her if you want to know what's going on. There's also a box over here for prayer requests. There's elders standing around. If someone needs to be prayed with, I'll be stepping down here in a minute for somebody that needs prayer or to visit or to talk about the Lord today. There's a milk jug in the back corner over here if you feel the Lord wanting you to give for to the church today, working in the church. So anyone else, we have any other questions? Amen. God bless you and have a great day.